As we continue our autumn series, please open your Bibles with me to the New Testament letter of James. James chapter 4, and this evening we're taking in verses 11 through 12. James chapter 4 and verses 11 through 12. And as we get ready to be worked over by the living word of God, have we ever formed a negative opinion about someone in church? Said another way, have we been judgmental about a brother and sister in the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, that person who's overseeing live stream. That child who won't sit still during Bible time. That church officer who's struggling to communicate. That person's prayer at a recent prayer meeting. The way that person plays their musical instrument. A fabric and finance issue on the church estate somewhere. Have we ever formed a negative opinion about a brother or sister in Christ? Now, for balance, please don't mishear me. As iron sharpens iron, we are to respectfully stand up for the faith and good order from a pure heart. We are to do what the Apostle Paul says to his co-worker Timothy. We are to flee youthful passions and pursue, go after righteousness, faith, love, and peace. But what does Jesus say to his close followers during the Sermon on the Mount? Early on, Jesus says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." And as we reflect on the Lord's teaching, Jesus has got us right where we are. Instead of being willing to pursue peace and reconciliation between ourselves and ultimately the Saviour, our fallen nature very often takes us in the opposite direction. We are so quick to judge others in church under the umbrella of religion. And we are quick to judge others because in us are things like impatience, intolerance, jealousy, anger, sexism, and racism. We put our opinions above the word of God, and because this disease is found in all of us, it's not the fact that outsiders don't know about the Christian faith. It's not that people in the village haven't heard about, well, an evangelical church in Fulling Mill Lane. The problem is that outsiders know of Christians in Fulling Mill Lane who are judgmental. And understandably, this makes them willing to consider a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. They see us as hypocrites and they want nothing to do with us. Which is why James was inspired by the Holy Spirit to mention to the church our verses for this evening. And if we were to sum up our text, we might say that in James chapter 4 and verses 11 through 12, James warns Christians about ungodly and judgmental attitudes. Now, by way of quick background, James, a relative of Jesus and a leader of the early church in Jerusalem, James is writing to Christian Jews who are scattered all over ancient Israel in the middle of the first century. And he's writing to them because he knows they are struggling to hold on to their faith in Jesus and his gospel. The Christian Jews are in a minority and they are under pressure. And as they come under pressure, they are tempted to fall out with each other and wander away from the gospel, to become unstable and unruly in their minds and hearts. And what was true 2,000 years ago is true of the church today. We exercise faith in Christ, whom we cannot see. We are a remnant in a pagan nation that hates Jesus and his gospel. And when we come under pressure, and we do in all sorts of different ways, we are tempted to fall out with each other and fall away from our faith in Christ. And this is why James continues to be on the front foot with his first audience. At James chapter 4, verse 11, James begins with a straightforward command. Can you see this in your Bibles? James says, start at verse 11, chapter 4, do not speak evil against one another, brothers. And as we get into this, James has in mind those moments when believers speak badly of each other, or even tell lies about someone else in the body to damage their reputation. You know, that quick conversation as we're walking up to the doors into the main building. That little whisper in the ear just before the service begins, or afterwards. A passing comment over light refreshments in the hall. A monologue over the moussaka in someone's home. It might even involve the inappropriate sharing of confidential information. And in lots of ways, James's pastoral concern about this matter can be traced back to things he's already stated. In particular, the issue of thinking really carefully before we speak. James has already warned members in the early church that their words can, figuratively speaking, set a forest on fire. James has pinched his first audience by telling them that they bless the Lord on one hand and they curse those made in the image of God. They're like a spring that produces pure and salty water. The point being that behavior like this is the very opposite of someone who is meant to be accepting Jesus's gospel in meekness, in humility. That if members refuse to mend their ways, then how can members take part in a righteousness, or rather a harvest of righteousness, that has been sown in peace? We won't be able to if we keep going after one another. Instead, the church will be plagued by disorder and every vile practice. James says the church will be unspiritual and demonic. Now, having commanded those in the early church to stop speaking unhelpfully about others in the congregation, in the next part of verse 11, James gives the reason for his teaching. In the next part of verse 11, can you see it there? James says, the one who speaks against a brother or judges his brother speaks evil against the law and judges the law. So as we get into this part of verse 11, James says to the members of the early church, if you speak badly about another person in church in some way, if you carry on like this, James says, then you are someone who speaks evil against the law and judges the law. That is, by your judgmental attitudes towards others, you are seeking to influence others by your interpretation of God's law found in Christ. You are seeking to influence others by your interpretation of the royal law, the law of liberty, the law of love and grace, as opposed to slowing down just for a moment and taking stock of your own life before the Lord and openly asking first and foremost, am I a humble follower of and doer of God's law revealed to us in Christ by his gospel? Now, of course, and just as we said at the top of this message, James is not stopping members of the early church dealing with attitudes and lifestyles that are contrary to Jesus and his gospel, not at all. As we have said throughout the course of this series, James is deeply concerned for members of the early church who have become, for whatever reason, unstable or double-minded. Indeed, James is seeking to rally those who are wandering away from the faith, because James knows with every fiber of his being there is one life, and then judgment by God. But in the time that we do have together on earth, James is very keen to sort out in the early church pompous believers, even cynical believers, believers who try to get an advantage over others in the church by bad-mouthing them in some way. James is keen to deal with believers who are full of self-righteous, judgmental attitudes. What James longs to see in the early church is members taking seriously their own lives before the Lord, before anything else starts to unfold. James wants individual members to focus on themselves in Christ's gospel, as opposed to inappropriately acting like the church's gatekeepers, because, last part of verse 11 now, and backing up what we've just said, can you see it there? If you judge the law, writes James, you are not a doer of the law, but a judge. Trying to simplify this, if members are in the habit of making detrimental comments about others in the church based on their interpretation of Christ's gospel, then they are setting themselves apart from the law of God found in Christ, and they are assuming the role of judge, when in fact they should be submitting themselves, placing them beneath the word of God, submitting themselves to Jesus' gospel. Because when we stop and think about this just for a moment, how can an authentic follower of the Lord Jesus Christ forget what they really are in the sight of God? What are we? Members of the church are saved by grace. Our faith that we exercise, it is a gift given by the Saviour to us in the power of his Spirit. Our salvation, the thing that we look forward to in eternity, our salvation, it has nothing to do with the works that we have done or will go on to do if God gives us a new day. And so, says James, as we come to verse 12 now in our study for this evening, let Christians remember that, and please see it there in your Bibles, there is only one lawgiver. There is only one judge, he who is able to save and to destroy. But who are you to judge your neighbor? So at the beginning of verse 12, James begins with an exclusive statement. When we are tempted to judge others in church, we need to hold on for a moment, because, writes James, there is only one lawgiver and judge. That is, there is only one who can give the law and apply it consistently. And in that position of authority, as verse 12 goes on, can we see this? It's the only living God who has the divine authority to save or keep something safe. And conversely, it's only the living Lord God who has the divine authority to separate or get rid of something or destroy something. And having reminded his first audience, and especially the judgmental types, that it is the living Lord God who oversees his church on earth, having done that, James then closes verse 12 with a decisive question. James asks the early believers, but who are you to judge your neighbor? Because imagine for a moment a scene in which the Lord God judged us according to our sins, even of today. Were that to happen, our service would stop right now. Instead, we are to spend more time loving God the Saviour with every part of our lives and loving our neighbours as we would love ourselves, rather than standing in judgment over others who in some cases might not know in a spiritual sense their right hand from their left. Well, having spent some time explaining James's teaching to the first century church, then what about us? How does James chapter 4 verses 11 through 12 make a difference to our faith and witness as we face up to the start of a new working week. Well, like Sunday evening just gone, this is for me as it is for you. And so whether we are conscious or not of recent judgmental attitudes in our conversations, emails, online messages, whatever, all of us need to spend time saying sorry to Jesus for our bad policing of others in church. We need to ask the Holy Spirit to help us to be less judgmental about others, and especially so if we don't have all the facts to hand. Now, what else might we say on this issue of being a judgmental Christian? Well, a judgmental attitude towards another person in church will often be rooted in a self-righteous attitude. Rather than speaking to a brother or a sister on the basis that we are all worthy of hell's fire, we approach our neighbour very often believing that they are worthy of hellfire because, tut, tut, we'd never get ourselves into the mess that they are in. And as our superior confidence leaks out in verbal and non-verbal communication, rather than building up our neighbour in church, we do the opposite. We crush them. And they can end up despising Christians. They can end up despising Christ. And in some cases, tragically, they leave. Oh, is there anything else? Well, have we ever had a conversation with ourselves about another believer? A believer in the body. And we are saying this and that, and we are imagining this and that because they have said and done this and that. And as we judge our neighbour, so we don't spend time praying for our neighbour as we ought to. And Satan wins. We hand him a victory. As we speak evil of others in church, we allow a great big wedge to come between us and them, and, you know, maybe their children as well. And as we continue to inappropriately judge each other, we shall by our own means take out the witness that the Lord God has called us to. Because in time, people will soon realise that our judgmental attitudes are the last thing they want to be around. And they'll leave for another place in the hope that grace and love can be found there. Is there anything else that serves us here as we try to grow our love and knowledge for the Lord? Well, what about this? If we're resolving to go to someone and to help them in their walk with the Lord, have we spent time checking ourselves first? Have we done what Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount? Have we asked the Holy Spirit over a period of time to help us find the beams in our eyes before we speak to somebody about their lives? Once those beams are gone, once those blind spots are dealt with by the goodness of the Holy Spirit through the power of God's word, then we can go to our brother and sister and help them with that speck that is in their eye. Finally, on this issue of inappropriately judging others in church, you know, the moment that we individually take our eyes, minds, our hearts off God the Saviour and his word, and begin to imagine somehow that we are right and everyone else is wrong, that we are the ones at the center of church life, as opposed to Jesus Christ and his gospel, when those things start to happen, when that moment comes, well, things start to shift in a bad direction. And the whole church has then got a serious problem. The only hope any of us have when it comes to the eradication of sin from our lives, the only way any of us, however long we've been in the faith, the only way any of us starts to inhibit that sinful instinct within us. The only way we start to clamp down on those moments when we speak evil about a brother or a sister in the Lord, the only way we marshal any of this is if we daily remember what Jesus Christ endured for us. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul writes, "For our sake." Now, does that land with any power in our hearts this evening? "For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, so that in him we of all people might become the righteousness of God and stand before him on that great day as though we had never sinned." If there was ever a man who had just cause to speak in detrimental terms about his own people, it was Jesus of Nazareth on the way to the cross. And yet in Isaiah chapter 53, that man of sorrows who was acquainted with indescribable grief, that one who was crushed by God for our sakes, well, he was like a sheep before its shearers. He was silent. The word says he opened not his mouth. And when Jesus found himself being nailed to the cross, he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Therefore, brothers and sisters, let all of us be very careful about the judgments we are making about other brothers and sisters in the church. After all, hasn't God shown us great mercy by judging Jesus instead of us? Amen.